It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And what we're going to be looking at today is words from the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. It's an old Sunday school lesson that we're looking at called Micah Champions the Oppressed. A Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 20th, 1927. You may want to turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6, and follow along in your Bible as we consider these things. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now in the book of Micah, as we come to chapter 6, we see that Jehovah has a controversy with his people. He's going to call on them to appear before him and relate his problem with them and receive their answer. We read in Micah 6 in verses 1 through 4. Hear ye now what Jehovah saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear, O ye mountains, Jehovah's controversy, and ye enduring foundations of the earth, for Jehovah hath a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? And testify against me. Now he explains the things that he had done for them that were good in verses 4 and 5. He says, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. Remember from Shittim to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteous acts of Jehovah. Well, we have the people's reply in Micah 6, 6 and 7. Wherefore shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Jehovah be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? It was in reply to these expressions of God's most wonderful goodness manifested in the blessings enumerated, the people make no effort at all at vindicating themselves. But as we say, their plea was guilty. At least speaking for them, or as they should speak, they are made by Jehovah to ask, wherewith shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the high God? What could they do to turn away God's wrath from them? How could they bow before him in prayer in an acceptable manner? Since God is putting these questions and these answers in their mouths, none of the offerings which they propose can stay God's wrath and avert their pending destruction. Burnt offerings, calves a year old, thousands of rams, and 10,000 rivers of oil could not do it. To give their firstborn for their transgression, and the fruit of their body for the sins of their soul, would not only not appease God's wrath, but be an abominable sin in his sight. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded not Neither came it to my mind, Jeremiah 31. By studying such passages, we shall see why a multitude of offerings could not atone for the sins of Israel. And we are impressed with the wonderful truth that nothing short of a broken and contrite heart, repentance and humility, hearty obedience to Him, will please God, and no sacrifice in the end short of that of the Lamb of God. Through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 6:20, Jehovah says, "Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing unto me." But the following is, "Hearken unto my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you." Jeremiah 7:23. So we read in Micah 6 and verse 8, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Jehovah require of thee, but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God." This reply to this inquiry of the people, Jehovah virtually says that he has taught already that which is good, and therefore what they should do, that they should do exactly the opposite of that which they had done and were still doing. What doth Jehovah require of thee? But to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. While the Pharisees were scrupulously exacting in little things, Jesus condemned them for leaving undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, Matthew 23:23. We should know what it is to deal justly with all. Paul states to render all their dues, owe no man anything save to love one another, Romans 13:7-10. The Israelites, to whom Micah wrote, knew what justice is. They had been taught to love their neighbor as themselves in Leviticus 19:18. "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measure of length, of weight, or of quantity, just balances, just weights, and a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am Jehovah your God, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." But not only in weights and measures, but in all ways, people must deal justly today. Jesus sums this up as follows, "All things therefore whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets." This embraces not only all false teaching and all false dealing, but all evil reports, all impugnment of motives, all misrepresentations, everything untrue, unfair, unjust, and every right thing that should be done to others. To love kindness is far more than to be technically kind. It is to love to be kind. It is to do more than to do justly. It is to be merciful and to treat others better than their conduct in the eyes of the law deserves. "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor." To walk humbly with thy God is to obey him, is to walk humbly as he directs. Very much is taught in the Bible on humility. That spirit and way are the opposite of humility, are strongly condemned. We read in Micah 6, verses 9 through 13. "The voice of Jehovah crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom will see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and a scant measure that is abominable? Shall I be pure with wicked balances, and with a bag of deceitful weights? For the rich man thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore, I also have smitten them with a grievous wound. I have made thee desolate because of thy sins. See, the problem was, the people refused to hear. We read, the voice of Jehovah crieth unto the city. God called to the people, and would teach them, and plead with them, to forsake their sins, to receive the chastening rod, to hear him who had appointed it. But the ones only who were wise would hear, and fear. Wisdom will see thy name. See, in the margin is fear. Wisdom will fear thy name. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. Job 28:28. Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and a scant measure that is abominable? They were still unjust, still using scant measures, which were abominable unto God. And in their houses there were still treasures of wickedness. They were traffickers. The balance of deceit were in their hands. And they defrauded and oppressed others. They could not be pure with wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weights. And no one can today. The rich had become richer by violence. They were full of it. The inhabitants of the country spoke lies. They were not honest and truthful, and their tongues were refrained to speak deceitfully. It is no wonder that God in his justice and righteousness smote them with a grievous wound and made them desolate. Verses 14 through 16 of Micah 6 shows the consequences of their sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy humiliation shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt put away, but shalt not save, and that which thou savest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but shalt not anoint thee with oil, and the vintage, but shalt not drink the wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I may make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof a hissing, and ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Well, that brings that Sunday school lesson to a close. And I see on the other page of this little Sunday school book that now we're going to be talking about Isaiah, particularly of how Isaiah teaches true worship. It's a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sundays of November the 27th, 1927. The text is Isaiah chapter 1, 10 through 20. The golden text is the 24th Psalm, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend unto the hill of Jehovah, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The devotional reading is John 4:21-24. Jesus said, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father doth seek such to be his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.